Contrary to popular belief, current in-demand work skills such as problem-solving, emotional intelligence, and innovation are actually coming from university degrees largely ignored by many in the arts and social sciences. So if you've been feeling a bit downplayed with your arts and media degrees compared to vocation degrees such as medicine or the law, fear not, your star is rising. Professor Catherine Colborne, a professor of history from the University of Newcastle, is excited about the pending report coming from the University Accord promised by the new Albanese government. She agrees that Australia is ripe for new innovations in education and calling for many to move away from the thinking that those that do arts degrees are graduates with no directions or overqualified cafe latte drinkers. She first explains to me that the last changes that took place in Australia's education sector was the 1980s during the Dawkins era.
The last big changes that we had in higher education were probably around the Dawkins era. There were really interesting things that happened in the 1980s in Australian education, and there have been policy shifts and changes since then, but Dawkins really ushered in an era of change around the status of different kinds of institutions in terms of education and training, understanding the differences between institutions. But what is interesting since then is that there's still not enough diversity between and among higher education institutions, and universities in particular tend to offer much the same suite of degree offerings with some differences, and some particular institutions stand out as being different.
You talk about what used to be the arts degree holders being looked down as cafe latte holding people are actually coming out now as the ones that are getting jobs quickly. What's happening there?
There seems to be a disconnect between ideas around employability and vocational educational training and the specific ways we might get there through our degrees in universities. So universities in Australia have really moved in the last decade or more towards really reifying, putting in lights the idea of the vocational qualifications and nursing, medicine, law, engineering among them. There are elements of those degrees that have general skills acquisition, but what's happened in that process is that the arts degree and the social science degree, and to some extent the Bachelor of Science degree as well, which is also a generalist degree, have been seen as not leading to distinctive occupational outcomes. And that's just not true. It's just that it's much harder to find when you look at employability outcomes data, because graduates from those general degrees go in lots of different directions. And essentially, my argument is that through studying a general degree, students might acquire the types of skills that employers have been asking for, which is much more around agility, adaptability, and transferable skills that, you know, in essence, those degrees really provide.
You also mentioned looking at problem-solving skills, analytical thinking, demonstrating leadership, initiative resilience.
What I'm trying to say is that the wonderful combination of deep knowledge and skills training that you can acquire in a Bachelor of Arts degree is being ignored and overlooked because people are not seeing those things. And it's actually up to the academics who are teaching and leading in these areas in arts and social sciences and humanities. It's up to us to make the case for those outcomes and those aspects of the degree. And that's what I know a number of university leaders to have been doing over the years. But there seems to be this lack of awareness of the fact that an arts degree training can actually deliver on so many of those skills that employers are looking for. So it's the blind spot I think we have in Australian culture when we think about what a degree offers.
The blind spot, do you think, would that be industry-led or employers-led?
Not really, no. I mean, I think industry leaders, tech leaders, business leaders have been saying for a number of years now, at least a decade, that they want more generic skills training and qualifications that allow students to, or graduates to, express, you know, their writing, communication, leadership, all of those types of skills. Point is that we're overlooking the value of the arts degree and we're diminishing it. And the Job Ready Graduates package, which was the former government's package around fee structures for universities, it did two or three things. One of them was it made the cost of the humanities and a couple of other degrees, you know, really very difficult for students to meet. They'll take on huge debt. And that, I know, is a matter for national urgency and discussion right now, student debt. And the second thing it did was it made sure that university didn't actually recoup the full costs of educating students through the other degrees. So nursing and education and science, for example, we're not seeing as much money flowing from the government for the student places. So in fact, it kind of created a storm of a lack of funding and potentially depressed the kind of market for arts and social sciences by sending that price signal message. The left-wing thinker in me would argue for a free higher education system again, such as I experienced when I went to university, but that may not be possible because of the way universities are funded. And I guess the Higher Education Accord is going to be looking at those very questions.
In the history of Australia, we had things like price and income accord, which led to Medicare, a health system that actually benefited most of us and less. Would that be something a university's accord might come up with or impact on society in the long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a national question about the value of tertiary education, and also how do the vocational training colleges like TAFEs fit into that system? How do they intersect with universities? What are the potential partnerships? All of those questions are important. And how does tertiary education flow on from secondary and primary? So the opportunity here for the national discussion is, what kind of country do we want to be in terms of our educational status? You know, how many people need a tertiary education or want to get one? And I think all people should have access to it if that's what they want. But we also need to understand the value of different degrees within that, so that many academics on the ground in universities, particularly in the arts and social sciences, would argue that the so-called corporate university, I'm not using that term necessarily, but they might, is pushing people into, you know, very applied fields because that's where the students seem to get the best outcomes. Whereas universities potentially, and higher education, should be for lifelong learning. It should be for valuing ideas, a knowledge economy, and those kind of bigger questions about how do we have a highly educated citizenry.
I've become much more conscious now about things like global events, like climate change, like artificial intelligence, the pandemic. Do you think this had major impacts in terms of how we started to rethink the role of education at the moment?
The trend towards applied educational fields and vocational degree, emphasis on vocational degree, has been, you know, it's been around for the last 10 to 15 years probably in Australia, but intensified. I think what COVID showed people is that the nature of future work is changing. There's a demand for people to work in education roles in schools, in teaching, for example. That's probably something that's a result of different sorts of trends, but maybe COVID's part of it because people are stressed and walking away from teaching. So there's a gap there. Particularly in health and nursing, we need to make sure we have enough graduates in those fields. So I understand all of those social pressures. I also understand the need for STEM graduates who will contribute to national R&D, you know, manufacturing and technology and those things, so that Australia isn't left adrift in a global economy where other countries supply that kind of knowledge. That's really important. And just bringing it back to what I am trying to say is that as part of all of that, we need people who can relate to the human side of those social changes, the human side, for example, of understanding what the implications of artificial intelligence are, or in fact, the human side of what it might mean to now work in future roles that may look very different from where they look now. They may not be the same professions, as it were, occupations. They may be quite multiple and diverse, and there might be lots of flexible types of work. If we have people who are able to think and on their feet and communicate and work across areas, we're going to be well set up, I think, as a country. My personal view, this is not an institutional view that anyone at my institution holds necessarily, but I think we should be moving to a more diverse system so that some universities perform particular forms of tasks and have particular outreach. And one example would be regional institutions, metropolitan institutions might fulfill a particular function in the higher education sector.
Will the university's accord make us even better or similar to the system in Finland? That is, if you actually agree with the Finnish system.
We've been affected by a hybrid system, an Anglo-American system, with some elements of European influence. And at various times, we pull one or other of those elements into service to say, look, we're as good as Oxford and Cambridge, or look, we're as good as Yale and Harvard. I don't think any of those things are right. I think what we need to be is ourselves. For a long period, there were conversations about national commissions, you know, what are universities doing? And I suppose it's been brought to a head by, I think, the significantly active attention of the leadership of the Labor Party in through a number of personnel, number of ministers and the Prime Minister to what it means to have a good higher education system. So I hope it does achieve these things. It's a big challenge and a big ask, I think, but I hope it does do these things and cut through some of the difficulties that we've been experiencing.
Professor Catherine Colborne is the current head of the School of Humanities and Social Sciences at the University of Newcastle. Her latest book on mental health, Why Talk About Madness, was published in 2020. Speaking to me there and ending that report.